Welcome to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's Big Money Podcast. It's Monday, January 25th, and for the next few minutes, the Democracy Campaign's Executive Director, Mike McCabe, is going to talk to us about a U.S. Supreme Court decision late last week that will allow special interests to pour even more money into federal and state elections than they have in the past. The 5-4 decision in a case known as Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission is a sweeping and, many would argue, catastrophic reinterpretation of campaign finance law. First, Mike, what does this decision do and what doesn't it do?
It rewrites law. That's not what courts are supposed to do. They're supposed to interpret the law. They're not supposed to write new law. But this really changes the political landscape, and the Supreme Court effectively wrote new policy in the area of campaign finance regulation. I think what the court basically had to embrace in order to issue this ruling was the idea that money is speech, corporations are people, public offices are commodities, and elections are nothing more than marketplaces where those commodities are bought and sold. That is the philosophical foundation of this ruling. It is a huge blow to our democracy. And, you know, and it's very good for corporations. I think it'll be very good for big labor unions. It's very bad for ordinary voters. And, you know, what the court didn't do, and I've heard a lot of people saying this right after the ruling, was that what this did was grant corporations a long-denied ability to speak, that it gave corporations free speech. And that's not at all what this ruling did. Corporations always had the ability to participate in the democratic process. Corporations could form political action committees and engage in direct electioneering. They always had that ability. What the question was whether corporations had a loud enough voice, whether they had enough ability to be heard. And amazingly, 5 of the 9 justices decided that no, corporations are not being heard well enough and really need to be given even a greater ability to have a strong voice in the democratic process. And that's the part that is so jaw-dropping about this ruling, is that 5 of the 9 justices honestly could look at the current political landscape. And you look at the healthcare debate in this country, and you look at the debate over global warming, you look at the, you know, the what's going on with the banks and Wall Street and the economic crisis. It is impossible to see that corporations have not had the ability to be heard in this country. In fact, I think most ordinary citizens feel like corporations have pretty much drowned out their voices. You look at recent Wisconsin Supreme Court elections, and again, it's impossible to conclude that corporations haven't had the ability to participate in the process and haven't had a voice. Yet, these justices basically ruled that they need to have an even louder voice and an even more dominant voice. That's amazing. A couple other things that the ruling does not do. There was a lot of talk immediately after the decision that this struck down the Tillman Act, the 1907 federal law banning corporate campaign contributions, and a similar 1906 law in Wisconsin. The ruling actually didn't have anything to do with campaign contributions. It had to do with corporate spending on elections. So those corporate contribution bans still stand, at least for now. They'll probably be challenged now in light of this ruling, but they still stand. They weren't struck down. The other thing I heard a lot was that, well, the bill that the state Senate passed just days before the ruling, the disclosure bill dealing with phony issue ads and closing that loophole in the state level, that's dead. And it's definitely not dead, because what the court clearly said, a supermajority of justices said the disclosure is constitutional. So Senate Bill 43 can move forward. Might need to be changed a little bit, but interestingly, there are actually ways that it could be strengthened. It is clearly not dead, and I think it's all the more important that the legislature and governor move forward aggressively with disclosure legislation, because that's one of the things that needs to be shored up now in light of this ruling.
Would the disclosure legislation affect this year's elections yet if they passed it, by the time they go home in May?
They would have to act quickly, I think. And I think the answer is yes. They, you know, new law could be in place for the 2010 election. There is time, but they would have to move quickly. But the bottom line is that whether it's for 2010 or the 2011 state Supreme Court election or the 2012 elections that would come after that, we need to get a legislative response to this ruling. We need to move forward aggressively with public financing of elections, which was not struck down, which was left untouched by this decision and remains on constitutionally sound footing. We need to move forward really aggressively with disclosure legislation. Senate Bill 43 is alive and kicking and needs to be dealt with by this legislature. So there's a lot that can still be done, even though this was clearly a disastrous and outrageous Supreme Court decision.
Do you think this decision means that Wisconsin residents are going to be barraged by even more nasty ads and mailings than they have in past elections?
I think unquestionably the answer is yes, but I say that primarily because I think this ruling definitely means way more corporate spending in federal elections. I'm not so sure that we'll see necessarily a big increase in corporate spending in state elections. At the federal level, ever since the McCain-Feingold law passed, there was a law in place that prevented corporate treasury funds from being used in election campaign ads. Now those corporate interests are freed. They can spend to their heart's content. And so I think you'll see a huge new infusion of corporate spending in federal elections. And I think labor unions also will be free to spend much more than they have. But at the state level, those same kinds of interests were essentially operating outside the law. They were exploiting a loophole that allowed them to secretly spend unlimited sums of money, including corporate treasury funds. So I'm not sure that this ruling will necessarily mean a lot more ads in state elections. But I think when you add it all up, yeah, the airwaves are going to be inundated. You know, one of the few winners in all of this are probably the broadcast TV stations as they sell a lot more advertising time.
So the two high-profile races in this year's elections is, of course, the open seat for governor and the re-election of Russ Feingold. From what you've just said, we'll probably see more of an effect from this decision in Russ Feingold's race than we will in the open seat for governor, right?
Yeah, I think any congressional elections, and including statewide elections for U.S. Senate, I think you're going to see a whole new dynamic, a really transformed landscape. You may not see that same sort of effect for the upcoming race for governor. It's too early to say. Maybe this ruling will embolden certain interests and they'll be encouraged to spend even more than they have in the past. But they have found ways to get around the law in the past in state elections in a way that they hadn't been able to do in recent years in federal elections. So I think there will be a bit of a difference between the two levels.
Okay. I guess lastly, what do supporters of campaign finance reform do next in light of this decision?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, public financing remains constitutionally viable. This doesn't strike down the Impartial Justice Act that Wisconsin just enacted for publicly financed state Supreme Court elections. Certainly the door is open to disclosure legislation. And I think not only can we look at disclosure of the election spending, but there's another big area here that Justice Stevens noted in his dissenting opinion. He said legislatures are now free to look at requiring corporations to notify and perhaps even get the consent of their shareholders to engage in election spending. Right now, these corporations will be free to use shareholder money without the shareholders' knowledge and without the shareholders' consent. So the people who've invested in these companies will have absolutely no knowledge or say in how their money is used in elections as corporations use this money to push their own agendas. That's an area that is ripe for reform. Shareholder disclosure and shareholder consent reform, I think, ought to definitely be on the agenda. And then certainly people can even look at boycotts. of companies that decide to exploit this ruling to try to hijack and take over elections. So, you know, there is a heck of a lot that can be done both legally through legislation and then also in the area of shareholder consent and reform, and then direct citizen action to try to confront the forces that have now been unleashed by this ruling. So this is no time to, you know, to just wallow in despair. This was a horrid, horrid ruling, but there are a lot of options, and so I think a very aggressive counteroffensive can be launched, and I say we get right to it.
Sounds like interesting times ahead. Thanks for your comments, Mike. For more up-to-date information about this decision and how it's affecting Wisconsin's political landscape, please explore the Democracy Campaign's website for blogs, statements, and other commentary now and in the weeks and months to come. Thanks for listening.